You're listening to Industry Iowa, presented by CIRIS, the Center for Industrial Research and Service. Here's your host, Stephen Wilson.
Welcome to Industry Iowa. My name's Stephen Wilson, and today with us is Paul Gormley. And I'm going to allow Paul to introduce himself. He's been with CIRIS a very long time, but he's going to be talking about AI. Paul, I didn't mean that in any other than positive way, Paul. You've been with CIRIS for a very long time, let's say longer than I have. But Paul's going to be talking about AI. We're just going to be scratching the surface here today. But Paul, thanks for being a guest on Industry Iowa, and give us a little introduction. Who's Paul Gormley?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, and you're right. I've been with CIRIS for coming up on 27 years. I've done a number of different things at CIRIS, and kind of the latest quote-unquote thing I'm doing is artificial intelligence, helping organizations understand its impact on their operations and kind of how to navigate this new world.
When did this come on the scene? I know obviously there's been an uptick in interest, but when did you first begin to kind of catch wind of what this is and its potential impact?
Well, you know, to be honest, I think everyone knows that artificial intelligence has been around for many, many years. You know, we're going on 65 or 70 years, quite honestly, of artificial intelligence in one way, shape, or form. Things have changed over time, of course. And, you know, so it's been around a long time. Organizations, you know, we've all been living in an age of artificial intelligence for some time, probably where it's been affecting us probably since the early 2000s, and more so. But really, I think people have been noticing it since it's been more accessible to them personally, mm-hmm. More controllable, if you will. And that probably would have been with the advent of ChatGPT back in 2022, late 2022. It was very coincidental. I had others in our digital marketing strategies team who were noticing or suggesting that artificial intelligence was really important to that. Marketing in general is a canary in the coal mine, mm-hmm. as some of the things that have come about more recently, like the large language models, can really affect the activities in marketing. And so I heard about it. We were probably talking about it about 6 months prior to that November 2022. And when November 2022 came about, we were just happened to be primed for it. And when we saw that, we said, oh, my goodness, here it is. And ChatGPT 3.5 wasn't much of anything compared to what we have now. As a matter of fact, it would be not good at all compared to what we have now. But boy, when you looked at it and thought, okay, well, if it can do this and it can get better, that's really when we started saying, oh, we're going to have to do something about this, more so than what we were doing before.
So you've been talking with, again, CIRIS works primarily with manufacturers, but there's a lot of other organizations out there. So when the subject of AI comes up, and it has been, I would sense you see an array of responses, but where are people at with it now?
Well, that's a good question. Here's a funny thing that I've been telling people recently, especially when they ask me this question. A lot of times they come to me and they say, hey, can you tell me what other manufacturers or what other companies are doing with artificial intelligence? And my kind of joking response is, oh, they're doing the same thing you're doing. They're asking me what you're doing with artificial intelligence.
Exactly. Yeah.
And for the most part, that is... I'm going to say that's mostly what people are doing, is they're trying to figure out where this artificial intelligence thing fits into their business, but they're doing it by asking, oh, so what's that tool that I'm supposed to buy and plug in and it's going to do all my work for me?
Yeah.
And honestly, that's not what we're talking about here. This is more of a transformational activity than it is some thing that you buy and plug in. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's really what we have to be thinking about. So, you know, what are people doing? You know, they're kind of, you know, sometimes if they're being a little proactive, they're buying a tool for their folks and letting them go about, you know, trying to figure it out themselves. If they're even more proactive than that, they're going and trying to get some supportive education for them. Some people are assigning it to their IT staff, which is a big mistake.
Which I know you really, you enjoy that, right?
Oh, yeah.
You love hearing that.
yeah, Steve, you sometimes are a little sarcastic like I am. Yeah, I would say that, you know, artificial intelligence, you know, at different levels means different things. But from a leadership perspective, it's really a strategic set of decisions. It is not about tools or technology. And it's not something that needs to be assigned to our typical, let's send it to our vice president of IT or something like that. It needs to come from the very top, because it's going to change pretty much everything about how we do business, what our, you know, our society is like, mm-hmm. what our economy is like. And so it's a strategic decision versus that. So you got me started on that already, Steve, but that's where I come from.
Yeah, exactly. And I think about it in terms of, so, you know, new role and enterprise leading project manager, and we look at, I look at things from that continuous improvement. Yeah, you can have particular tools in use within organizations, finance, Kaizen, these different things. Okay, they will bring some benefit, but it is only when you look at it from that strategic level. How are we going to do this organizationally wide? How are we not just going to have pockets here and there, but how are we going to roll it out? How are we going to support it? How are we going to, you know, continue to develop it, train our people in it? That sounds like that's what you're saying is that's where organizations need to be.
Absolutely. You know, I really appreciate productivity improvement. To be honest, I believe that, and this is my personal belief, I can't say that this is anything that's based on research. I listen to others, but I have not done any deep research in this. But I believe that artificial intelligence needs to be implemented somewhat like our productivity work, where the people that know, for instance, the people that know what use cases are going to be useful within an organization are those that are closest to the work. I don't believe it's a good idea to try to centralize what we're going to do in a business from some technologist who doesn't understand the work that's being done. Mm-hmm. And so just like productivity, or, you know, like in a lean area, what you want is people with the expertise working with the tools and then in making those improvements, maybe not themselves always, maybe they're going to need a team. Maybe they're going to need a champion to help them out. Yeah. That right. could be too. But very much like productivity, I could see that's the way artificial intelligence needs to work. Now, to a certain extent, in productivity, we need to understand the tools. Some of these things are common sense, you know, I mean, but they need to be grouped and explained in such a way to give a common understanding, common terminology, all of those sorts of things. We need to do the exact same thing with artificial intelligence for our users. However, the one little thing is, then there needs to be time to absorb and use and figure out for yourself the limitations of artificial intelligence, where it could be used well, where it might not be, time to discuss with others your successes and failures, and maybe through something like cohorts, be able to advance yourselves. Education can come in to play there to accelerate that, but there's nothing, in my opinion, nothing that's going to nothing that's going to replace the time and the occasional failure and overcoming that failure that is working with it.
Yeah. So again, I'm hearing that same correlation, and maybe it is because of the role that I play here with Cirrus, that correlation. Yes, you are going to have a certain degree, certain level of expertise by some in continuous improvement. But then ultimately, we talk about it being everybody, every day, everywhere. You know, everybody is to some degree looking for those opportunities and deploying it to a certain degree, again, within there. So again, it helps me to contextualize or to picture the ultimate view of AI is that, yeah, you're going to have those individuals that, right, we always have those individuals that are, you know, the top, they understand it, they get it, right? They're going to kind of be that Knights of the Round Table type thing to make sure, right, there's governance and how are we going to do all those things. But I would say you want everyone to, within some degree, identify how is it helpful to them and be utilizing that, correct?
Yes. You know, the thing that I think people will probably begin to appreciate is that AI is a tool. It's a different sort of tool than any tool we've had before. But it's a tool to make certain things happen. Okay. And to improve what you're already doing, or maybe being able to augment what you're already doing, or to automate what you're already doing. And understanding your processes, the data that you own, the understanding that you have, that's the first step of all of this. And it's very, you know, just like you said, there is that central team, they can help with that sort of thing, but the knowledge of everyone in the organization is going to be essential to this. And so it takes a little while, or I'm sorry, it takes a concerted effort of everyone understanding it to some level to really be successful with it, I think.
One of the things I know you said this and argue that point of the best decision that AI leaders can make is what they're going to do with the time that AI gives them, right? Why do you say that? What, give a little explanation on that.
So to as you know, Steve, you know me, and the people out there listening are probably going to get to know me, whether they like to or not. I can be a little obtuse.
Hey, trust me, audience. We all went through that phase. Do we want to know Paul or not? Do we want to know more or not?
So I tend to be a little obtuse, and I like to make statements. And one of the statements I like to make is, are you going to do the same with less, or are you going to do more with the same? Which, in general, what I'm trying to say there is, you know, if what all we're trying to do, you know, like let's look at corporate America, or, you know, those that are publicly traded. Something that I'm not a big fan of, which is shareholder value. I'm a big fan of shareholder value, but I'm not in all of the ways that it gets done. We find an efficiency and then we lay off. Mm-hmm. Right? Right. That's the kind of activity that happens that I'm not really in. I'm not for that.
Right.
And so if you're saying, well, hey, you know, we can do the same amount of what we do right now with less people, you're going to find those efficiencies with artificial intelligence. But what I'm understanding, and when I listen to, you know, kind of the crosses between the futurists and the economists, there are issues with that, because in an age with unlimited knowledge and capabilities to do these things, other organizations are going to be trying to take your pie too. So you need to be trying to grow what you do. There's going to be a need to do more with the same. And if you don't have that mentality, we're going to have a problem. in mm-hmm. what I'm saying, probably from, first of all, from an economic point of view, from a company's point of view, and then lastly, probably from a society and a humanistic point of view. We're going to need to do more with the same. Otherwise, we're going to have a lack of activity for humans to be able to do, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Right. And again, I keep going back to that analogy of continuous improvement. But with that, the philosophy is not that we increase efficiencies and then as a result of that, we lay off, right? Because who wants to? I'm going to go, hey, Paul, I want you to improve the efficiency of your area. And by the way, we're going to lay some folks off and you might be one of those. All right. Yeah. You're motivated, aren't you, to make those efficiencies? Only if you're near retirement age, you're motivated to make those efficiencies. And what we need to be looking at is, okay, we with this extra time, what are we going to do? Does that mean we can go into new markets? Does that mean we can, you know, create new products? All those types of things. What productively can we do with this additional time? Are you seeing any things happening right now? Are there any, you know, case studies where you're seeing that happen? Or are you just saying, hey, on the horizon, we got to be careful about this? Are you seeing organizations, you know, hey, we introduced AI and we've been utilizing it. And here's some things we've been able to do that we wouldn't have had we not gone this direction.
You know, Steve, so if we're talking about like actual employment, I haven't seen, or at least been personally involved with, any companies that have shifted employment because of artificial intelligence yet. Okay. What I have seen is slight gains here and there.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm working with a company right now that an individual within the company, I'm coaching that person because I said, hey, you know, we could do a project like this, or I could kind of explain to you how to do this and utilize artificial intelligence to write a little glueware here. And the objective of that, or the final goal of that, is hopefully they're going to save about 20 hours a week, about half of a week, about a half of an FTE for an individual, instead of kind of hand coding POs that come into their organization. They're going to try to automate like 95% of that. There's no way that we're going to automate like the whole bunch, right? And it'll still take that person a little bit of time to get it, you know, get those POs in order, get them put in a file and that sort of thing. But we're trying to take it from like 20 hours down to maybe an hour a week. Mm-hmm. And that's going to free that person up to do things that humans should be doing. And that person has the capabilities. They have the interest to reassign their time. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be a valuable thing, right? And it's going to help them be able to process more basically with the same people, right? Yeah. So I'm seeing little bits of that here and there. I've got another project where they're not necessarily trying to save the time of the people. What they're saying is, look, if we have three people that are out, we're stopping, you know, multi-million-dollar a week lines if these people can't do their job. And so we need to have backups. We need to have somebody or something that can provide a backup to these people because they're rare and they can get sick or they have to go out on leave and those sorts of things. And that's a problem. And so they're mm-hmm. trying to work on risk as much as anything else. And they're trying to avoid risk, which is way out there ahead of things. You know, the scale kind of goes, oh, look at this, little efficiencies and then greater efficiencies. Not for a long time does it come that people start to say, oh, well, this is how we become creative and do something new and different. That's not usually on people's minds right now because they only see artificial intelligence on gaining efficiency and then avoiding risk. Never hear that, right? So I've mm-hmm. only got one company that's ever come to me with that, but that's really where AI is going to affect everything.
What are you seeing right now as seeing or where are you seeing AI create the biggest practical wins right now? You know, let's talk about, right, just inside Iowa manufacturers.
I would say there are definitely non-large language model, artificial intelligence implementations that are being done on a regular basis in our manufacturers. When you look at things like vision systems, for instance, those are, I don't want to say cut and dried, but I want to say kind of packaged artificial intelligence that people are probably don't even think about. They think, oh, that's just a vision system. Well, that's artificial intelligence. There are things that are like that. You see some preventive maintenance implementations. You know, then you might hear people saying, oh, yeah, well, that's just because we put a bunch of sensors all over the place. Well, those sensors are taking information. They're doing something with it that is not determinative software, for instance, right? It can't, you know, it. You can't say, oh, yeah, well, if that one's vibrating at so much more percentage this month than it was last month, we should look at it based on these six other sensors that are doing something unusual. Artificial intelligence is helping sense that something's out of the ordinary, right? So these things are probably more common than what a lot of people are thinking, and that's definitely artificial intelligence. I think when people think when they think about artificial intelligence, they're oftentimes thinking about like the large language models that are out there, because that's the thing that's in everybody's face now. When it comes to large language models, I believe that a lot of it's probably getting used in the front office a lot more, scheduling, supply chain management. But, you know, if you have a meeting, if you're talking to people, transcription and the gathering of data about, you know, meetings, you know, weekly meetings or something, and the what's going on in them, and let's capture the artificial or the action items and things like that. Just there's lots of little places that people might be using it, and they don't really realize that it's artificial intelligence and that it can be used for even more. You know, so I can't tell you the exact places it's being used, but people are starting to pick it up. Could it be used a lot better, a lot more effectively without some bad habits and things like that? Yes, absolutely.
So I know you've been doing some training with Cirrus and with some other organizations. What are ways that people can, obviously they can reach out to you, connect with you, through the Cirrus website there, but what are some things? Do you have anything coming up with regards to training or how do you work with organizations?
Yeah, well that's a good setup. So so there are a few ways that we're trying to help companies. One of the biggest ways right now is we got together with the University of Iowa, the IIAI, which is the Iowa Initiative for Artificial Intelligence. And Iowa State University's TRAC, that's TRAC, which is Translational Artificial Intelligence Center, and then Cirrus, of course. And we got together and we developed a curriculum that we're trying to take to the state of Iowa for workforce. And we're cooperating with the community colleges that are capable of hosting our trainers and that are going to be using our curriculum. And this is kind of like the jumping off point. There's a lot of great training that's already out there that come from both of the organizations I mentioned that we're partnering with and the community colleges and the things that we're already doing. But this is really an intro to get you up to a certain point. So we've got three levels. One's called literacy. Second level is called fluency. The last level is called integration. And you know, literacy is for, hey, I haven't touched AI yet, or I've been playing with it and I don't quite understand it and I'm not sure how to get great results out of it. We want you to come to literacy for that. Fluency is more, okay, so let's start to take a look at your your data and how you might organize it, called structured data, for instance, and you know how you work with documents, and then how you might make a workflow utilizing these things. Because you know, artificial intelligence isn't just an answer machine that can do everything on its own. You gotta think, you gotta plan ahead for it. And then getting into a little bit of the ethics in that second session. And then the third session is different. It's called integration. And what we're talking about there is people who need to help lead their organization, who want to be champions within their organization. They need to know more than just the large language models that are out there, which is what the first two sessions are about. We want to expose them to the larger world of artificial intelligence, and then help them be able to lead within their organization by examining what the processes are. That's, you know, it's so important. It's just like, you know, visual stream mapping or, you know, like VSM in Lean or whatever. You've got to know what that process is. Artificial intelligence doesn't know all that stuff to begin with, right? You've got to be able to do that. You've got to be able to bring the data and organize it more. So we want to talk about how all of those things are done, how you can define what a use case is, and then how you could articulate that to oftentimes either somebody at a very high level within your organization, but for most of our smaller companies, it's probably going to be somebody outside that organization. And how do you lead that? How do you help your company advance with artificial intelligence if you don't have that one brilliant person within your organization that can do it all, which not a lot of us do, okay? So, you know, those are the three stages that we're proposing for organizations throughout our state. We piloted it. The first ones are coming out in February. DMAC is the first one that's going to be putting that on. And then we're going to be going through many community colleges throughout the state. Aside from that, we do direct work with companies. And we listen to what they need, and we have some components that we can bring to them to help small groups within their company advance. And so that's really kind of customized. And that's this that I do a lot of that sort of work. I will also listen to people's use cases if they've defined them before, and help them achieve their goals, whether that's through coaching them or explaining to them kind of the steps they need to go through, and then they go on their merry way, to doing some light project work myself, or introducing them to my smart friends who know particular things after I help define what that is. And, you know, define the problem statement. If we get that problem statement defined, that's, you know, a problem defined is a problem half solved, right? So that can be valuable in itself. Yeah. So, you know, I'm just, like you said, would I take a call from anyone? Yeah, I'll take a call, we'll talk. But we do have some things that are lined up, and people should be watching their local community colleges and the Cirrus website to see when we're doing those trainings, because I think those will be very useful. And, you know, if you're a company of 200 people and you happen to bring 10 to 15 people to one of those, I guarantee you that cohort will be highly valued.
And that, again, for our listeners, cirrus@iastate.edu. And you can look on the where it says our team and be introduced to Paul there, and you're able to reach out to Paul. And also, just if somebody doesn't go there, Paul, what's your email?
It's GORMLEY, just my last name, @iastate.edu. Long for Iowa, long for state.
There you go. Yeah. So I listen to you. I listen to this podcast, and I'm asking, all right, what should I do in the first 30 days? What should I do differently in the next 30 days? I'm just learning about AI.
Well, you know, Steve, I think that depends on the perspective that you're coming from and who you are, probably. And let's stick with those that are in, you know, manufacturing organizations or industrial style companies, you know, or let's just say in businesses, right? Because honestly, a lot of this just transfers over. You know, if you are a leader in an organization, I really challenge you to go out and learn what you can about how the world could be changing with artificial intelligence and how that will affect your organization.
Yeah.
Most specifically in your strategic plan, and even more specifically is look at every single one of your entries into your SWOT and say to yourself, okay, what if? Now, now there's how it's going to affect you and your business is, you know, different from company to company. But you need to think about, okay, so what happens if those people that we don't consider to be competition right now are able to figure this out and do certain things because of artificial intelligence? What happens to us? What happens, you know, how do we pick up market share because of artificial intelligence? What are we going to do with that? You know, that's the perspective that I want the leaders to think about. They don't need to go out and learn about the technology. They just need to listen to what, you know, I mean, even go out and listen to some of the futurists and hear what's going on out there. Individuals, you know, if you're asking me what do they need to do, a couple of things we need to stop doing. If you happen to be using artificial intelligence or any form of large language model as a search engine, stop it. That's not what it is. It's not an answer machine. It doesn't know, everything, and more exactly, it doesn't know anything. Okay. Now, can it go out and look things up? Sure. It's not any more effective than a search engine in that regard, because it's basically using a search engine. It's acting like a search engine when you ask it to, but it's not as effective as a search engine. What's kind of funny is that at one point in time, you know, this is a thing that I think is funny is that now we have people, they go out and they look at artificial intelligence, they ask it a question, they get the information, and then somebody looks at them and says, hey, you can't be sure about that. That's a large language model. You need to look that up on Google. And what's so funny about that is, what did we say before about the internet, right? I mean, what's the meme? You know, well, it must be true, it's on the internet. No, absolutely not. Do we need to have critical thinking? Do we need to have all of that? Yes. And we need to be able to check what it is that we're finding out, those sorts of things. So if you're using it as a search engine, that's not what the tool is for. Okay. Right. The second thing I would say is that it's an iterative tool and it should be used as a collaborator and not some sort of omniscient being. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if you're basically thinking that you're going to get the ideal prompt and you're going to put it into it and it's going to give you the perfect answer, stop doing that and lighten up a little bit on your prompts and just learn how to work back and forth with it. Should you use a good technique, or if you start on it, should you use like a technique like RTIO, which is a structure that you can use, which is role. You're telling it what kind of role that it's in, the task, what do you need it to do, the input, what is it that it couldn't possibly know that you know that, or that you want it to just work off of, and then the output is like, what do I want this to look like, right?
Yeah.
If you just follow that basic structure for a while, you will get your own methodology. You will figure out a rhythm with whatever large language model you're using, and you'll be able to converse with it kind of very naturally. But what I do find is that there are people that even though they've been using large language models for a little while, when I teach them the RTIO, they're like, oh, yeah, I never even thought about that part. Oh, my gosh, it's so much more effective when I give it the output that I need, because then I don't have to complain about how it's not giving it to me in the way that I wanted because it didn't read my mind because I thought it was not missing it. Right. So that's the other issue I'd say is that you need to understand that. And Maybe the other thing that it's just a hint here. Large language models are very interesting in the fact that you can learn from them. So if you have questions, you can ask it. Now, you might want to refer back. You might want to find out what you can learn from it, you know, whether it's true or not. But when you ask it about how it works, or what the most effective way to ask it a question or to produce a prompt, or what steps you should go through with it or software to make something happen, it's pretty good at that. Yeah. So you can learn a lot from it about it. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's the one nice thing that you could do. So, I mean, all of those things kind of in combination. I know yeah. I rapid fired it to them, but the other thing I tell people when they come to my classes is, hey, I'm fairly certain today, if you sit down with the large language model here, you are not going to set off any nuclear missiles.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And here's what we do want to be careful of. Don't put in private information, proprietary information, anything like that until you understand the agreements that you have and the way that you're protecting yourself and the people that might be around you or your clients and things like that. So be careful about that. But otherwise, experiment, right? Yeah. That's the only way that you're probably going to learn. And some of the advice I give to people, as I say, I do believe that people might get bloody foreheads by beating their head against the wall a little bit. It's important that you face adversity and you get around it. That's important. Yeah. But before you beat your forehead bloody, find a friend who knows a little more than you that can help you avoid some of that. Yeah. You know, face some of the adversity and then have somebody help you maybe get around that adversity a little more quickly.
Before I ask the final question, and I do see that you have your crystal ball with you. So those of you that are just listening to this on radio, or just getting audio, you don't see that Paul does have his crystal ball with him. So otherwise, I wouldn't ask you this upcoming question. But you mentioned there about inaccurate information. I had seen something that somebody had put a prompt in about asking for an update on the Indiana-Oregon game, mid-game, and it came back. It spit out that Oregon had won like 31-24, you know. And it's like, wait a minute, the game's not even over yet. And so, you got to be very careful. My final question, in 5 years, what's going to separate manufacturers who used AI wisely from those who didn't? What do you think?
You know, I'm really hesitant to talk about timelines, because even though I've been pretty good at predicting things that were going to happen in the future, I rarely get the timeline right.
Okay, so then just put it in those that, let's put it in the terms of separate those, you know, regardless of the timeline, what's going to separate manufacturers who embrace and use AI wisely from those who don't?
Well, what I believe will probably definitely, I might have a tricky answer to this.
All right.
I think those that utilize AI the most, those that don't utilize AI aren't going to be in business.
Yeah.
Those that do utilize AI, but maybe not the most wisely, are going to be efficient and not have gained very much. And those who use AI wisely, which in my opinion is using it strategically to develop new and different and better products, services, and business models that delight their customers, are going to be advancing. Okay, so, and I would say probably taking market share from those that are using AI, but only using it kind of in a defensive posture to see if they can reduce, efficiency is important. I mean, you know, productivity, for instance, we always want to work on that. There's nothing wrong with that. But in a way, it's a little bit like the old adage, you know, where you're trying to drain the swamp so you can find the alligators or whatever. Mm-hmm. I've been on the growth side since, I don't know, probably 20, 2006 or so is when I started working on innovation and digital marketing and things like that. My opinion is there are two ways to approach that. You can drain the swamp, get rid of the alligators, then you have a safer way across the swamp. Or you can drown those alligators with way more water.
Uh-huh.
You see what I'm saying? And
yeah.
I think the opportunities with that is going to be on the creative side, on that innovative side, and those that are really, really succeeding with it are not just trying to be defensive with efficiency.
Yeah. Okay. Excellent. Well, Paul, thank you for being on Industry Iowa. And again, there's so much, right? I mean, you do weeks of classes and there's a lot of content that we didn't even scratch. There's governance, all of these other things that need to be touched on with regards to AI. So folks, again, you can reach out to Paul Gormley, and you can find him on the Cirrus website, and then also gormley@iastate.edu. Paul, thank you so much. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Steve. This was fun.
All right, sir.
Have a great one.
You too.